Speak the speech, I pray you, as I pronounce it to you, trippingly on the tongue. But if you mouth it, as many of your players do, I had at least the town crier spoke my lines. Now do not saw the air too much with your hands, thus, but use all gently, for in the very torrent tempest, and as I may say, whirlwind of your passion, you must acquire and beget a temperance that may give it smoothness. Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-pated fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise. I would have such a fellow whipped for doing termagant. It out Herod, Herod. Pray you avoid it. I warrant, Your Honor, be not too tame neither, but let your own discretion be your tutor. Suit the action to the word, and the word to the action, with its special observance that you accept not the modesty of nature, for anything so overdone is from the purpose of playing, whose end both at the first and now was and is to hold as twere the mirror up to nature, to show virtue her own feature, scorn her own image, and the very age and body of the time its form and pressure. Now this overdone, or come tardy off, though it make the unskillful laugh, cannot but make the judicious grieve, the censure of the which one must in your allowance outweigh a whole theatre of others. Oh, there be players that I have seen play, and heard others praise, and that highly, not to speak it profanely, but neither having the accent of Christian, nor the gait of Christian, pagan, nor man, have so strutted and bellowed that I have thought some of nature's journeymen had made men and not made them well. They imitated humanity so abominably. I hope we have reformed that indifferently with us, sir. Oh, reform it altogether, and let those that play your clowns speak no more than is set down for them, for the be of them that will themselves laugh, to set on some quantity of barren spectators to laugh too, though in the meantime some necessary question of the play be then to be considered. That's villainous, and shows the most pitiful ambition in the fool that uses it. Go, make you ready. What ho! Horatio! Here, sweet lord, at your service. Horatio, thou art e'en as just a man as e'er my conversation coped with all. Oh, my dear lord, nay, do not think I flatter, for what advancement may I hope from thee, that no revenue hath but thy good spirit to feed and clothe thee? Why should the poor be flattered? No, let the candid tongue lick absurd pomp, and crook the pregnant hinges of the knee, where thrift may follow fawning. Dost thou fear, since my dear soul was mistress of her choice, and could of men distinguish, her election hath sealed thee for herself, for thou hast been as one in suffering all, that suffers nothing, a man that fortune buffets and rewards, hath ta'en with equal thanks, and blessed are those whose blood and judgment are so well commingled, that they are not a pipe for fortune's finger to sound what oft she please. Give me that man that is not passion's slave, and I will wear him in my heart's core, aye, in my heart of hearts, as I do thee. Something too much of this. There is a play tonight before the king. One scene of it comes near the circumstance which I have told thee of my father's death. I prithee, when thou seest that act afoot, even with the very comment of my soul, observe, mine uncle, if he is occulted guilt, do not itself unkennel in one speech. It is a damned ghost that we have seen, and my imaginations are as foul as Vulcan's city. Give him heedful note, for I, mine eyes, will rivet to his face, and after we will both our judgments join in censure of his seeming. They are coming to the play. I must be idle. Get your place.